I'm going to, because Mark held a evidence-based piece on what we know through research, I feel as if I can actually depart a little bit and go towards integrative medicine, which has been my love. I want you to know that in my clinic, you know, I saw a huge number of people with sleep issues, and even if they didn't talk to me about their sleep, I would look at them and say, what's this person seem like to me? And I would ask about sleep, especially if they appeared to have a lot of movement in their lives, and predictably their sleep was off. And while in this format we are not addressing sleep disorders, which are a huge part of what physicians like Mark deal with, these are organic sleep disorders that require further evaluation, obstructive sleep apnea, periodic leg movements, restless legs, so on and so forth. We are really focusing, I think, tonight on more common issues of the inability to fall asleep, to stay asleep, and to have a poor quality of sleep overall, and how we counter those. And more importantly, because medicine tends to create a problem that can then be solved, we have a sleep problem. And because there's a sleep problem, any number of medications and sleep is also now probably a multi-billion dollar business from the herbs and supplements side. I am remembering a year or two ago a conversation with a psychotherapist, and he said to me, you know, I've recently gone to a functional medicine doc and, you know, getting tested a lot, and he's starting to put me on a lot of supplements. I said, why is that? He said, because I'm just not sleeping well. I said, really? Are the supplements helping you? And he said, I guess so. I think maybe they're starting. I said, when was the last time you actually had a good night's sleep? And he closed his eyes and thought for a moment, and he said, well, that was when I was in a relationship with this woman that I loved very much. I said, bingo, you're a psychotherapist. What does that tell you? And so our relationship to sleep, if we go back to our childhood, our infancy, and think about how our sleep has altered over time, when we were little children, and those of us who are parents, we rock our children to sleep. We hold them. We know how to comfort them. And there is a huge piece in sleep and the ability to sleep for safety, for the sense of attachment and attunement, not only to others, but also to self. And this is the piece that's really interesting to me. What we have in from the world of biomedical medicine with our research is, how much should we be sleeping? Is it 8 hours, 9 hours, 6 hours? Is that enough? Should we take cat naps? More recently, studies have shown that we don't need to sleep all in a stretch, that perhaps we go in cycles, and that there is a time in the middle of the night where we might be awake and then go back to sleep gently and peacefully. And then there is the world of, you know, spiritual, perhaps even the world of yogis, where we might have heard of swamis who only needed 2 or 3 hours of sleep a night because they were doing this very high-level meditation. So it gets really confusing. How much should we be sleeping? And I say that not because I have the answers to it, but urge you to step back into yourself and create a relationship with you around sleep. And how much do I need? From an Ayurvedic perspective, I look at people and I go, what constitution are we? What elemental makeup are we predominantly? And those of us who have a great deal of air and fire within us tend to move fast. And, you know, I've had the privilege of being able to do talks on Ayurveda with large rooms of people, 200 to 300 people, and then dividing them up into groups. And what you would start to see is that people who look like they've got more earth element, the more solid people with more bulk on their bodies, probably sleep better, unless they're really stressed out. People who look like me, somebody should tape me down to a bed and not let me get up, because I'm like that. So, you know, I'm really looking at individual constitutions, and even beyond that, that goes back to somebody else telling you about yourself. Think about the last time you woke up after a wonderful night's sleep and how you felt, melatonin and everything on board. What I'd like to give you are a few pointers from an Ayurvedic perspective. And what's really fun for me about this is that the biomedical and the Ayurvedic seem to really agree with each other on a number of things, including, you know, we medical doctors call something called sleep hygiene, which is really a disgusting term. You know, it sounds like wiping your butt. I like that too, but poop is one of my favorite subjects, but and I do usually find a way of bringing it up. But sleep hygiene is just not a very pretty term. However, it has many aspects of it that holistic traditions talk about, which is honoring the rhythm of the day and honoring the ritual around sleep. One of the ways in which we probably differ is that the sleep hygiene approach says, if you're not sleepy, get up. The Ayurvedic approach says, accept that you are resting and stay in your bed, because that horizontal relationship to the earth is increasing our earth element as we speak. And what is happening in that in the body as we rest and do nothing at all is that our intestines are slowly processing, you know what, poop. So that when you get up first thing in the morning, you've had enough rest, even if you haven't slept, so that you can eliminate and move on. What's really interesting about this idea of circadian rhythms is that the Ayurvedes said, picked out certain portions of the day for what should be done when. And they said the ideal time to fall asleep is between 6 and 11 p.m. So I don't know if that's Indian time or U.S. time. That's coming up. But what you might observe, and again, I invite you to a process of awareness and self-observation. How do you feel when you fall asleep around somewhere between 9 and 11? And then how do you feel when you fall asleep around midnight to 1 o'clock? What I have noticed, which is what all the Ayurvedic textbooks say, that's because, you know, I'm a poster child for sort of female version of the neurotic Woody Allen type. And that is all the textbook cases are going to show up in my body, is that I have irritable dreams, I am more irritable, and my quality of sleep is less peaceful. It's more staccato. Whereas when I fall asleep at a prescribed time, perhaps really going with a time that melatonin levels are starting to rise, and I'm starting to feel drowsy, and my body temperatures haven't dropped to their peak, I can actually fall asleep peacefully, and I have more peaceful dreams, and I wake up more peacefully. So that's one small thing to listen to. Thank you. If, when looking at your diet, again, focusing on increasing your earth element so that your body can rest into sleep, so that you're not eating things that are hard for the body to digest, you're not eating large amounts of raw food at night, but you're eating small amounts of easily digestible cooked foods. My Ayurvedic teacher said, have a ritual around sleeping, and let that ritual be massage. So he mentioned three important places in the body to massage, and if I hit one, I'm really lucky. And the most important one is the feet. Spend some time massaging your own feet. The other one is a spot in the lower abdomen, about 3/4 of the way between the pubis and the umbilicus. And the third one is here, the center of the forehead, where the Hindus thought this gave them direct access to the pineal gland, the center of awakening and sleeping. So try that. What I'd like to end with, since I'm really close to that, is a beautiful poem that I have been reading for several years from Antonio Machado. And it's called Last Night as I Was Sleeping. And this is one of my favorite poems, and every time I read it, I start crying, so forgive me. And though it has a religious reference to it, in no way do I want to imply religion in my talk. It is that he says that sleep is for healing, and it's not healing from any problem. When I say healing, I really don't intend the curative nature or fixing of a problem, but that we're brought back simply to ourselves. So, last night as I was sleeping. Last night as I was sleeping, I dreamt, marvelous error, that a spring was breaking out in my heart. I said, along which secret aqueduct, O water, are you coming to me? Water of a new life that I have never drunk. Last night as I was sleeping, I dreamt, marvelous error, that I had a beehive here inside my heart, and the golden bees were making white combs and sweet honey from my old failures. Last night as I was sleeping, I dreamt, marvelous error. That a fiery sun was giving light inside my heart. It was fiery because I felt warmth as from a hearth. And sun because it gave light and brought tears to my eyes. Last night, as I slept, marvelous error, I dreamt, marvelous error, that it was God I had here inside my heart. Sleep is the most precious thing that we have. When I talk to my patients about a high five, I put sleep as the most important thing. And if we do one thing to reconnect to ourselves, one thing to spend a huge amount of our time and energy and attunement on, it is sleep. Thank you.